It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Now, we are learning how Jesus Christ overcame the enemy. He said, each time the enemy came, he says, it is written. And he did not go against the Word of God, against God's will. The Word of God says in James, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. God has given us power to resist the enemy. But if you make enemy your friend, then you will be God's enemy. You will be going away from the Lord. So we have to resist the enemy, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, it says, when Jesus Christ said to him, get behind me, Satan, otherwise get out of here. And so he went. But Luke says he did not go forever. He went for a season, for time. Let's read that, Matthew 4:11.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Go to the Luke chapter 4, verse 13.
And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
Okay. He departed from him for a season. That means he said, well, I'll be back. But the Word of God says in the same Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, when devil departed, angels came and ministered unto him. That means he had a real battle with the enemy. He was exhausted. He already was fasting for 40 days. At that time, angel didn't come and say, okay, you are hungry, you are tired, I came here to help you. When the angel came, when he won the battle and he was victorious, but at the same time, he was exhausted. And so the angel came, ministered to him. And then as the Luke said, he left him for season. The same enemy came in Gethsemane. Go to the Luke chapter 22, verse 43.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
Now here, I'm just reading the last word. That angel came to strengthen him. What happened here? In Gethsemane, he was praying and his sweat drops of blood. So the devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane. But he prayed and said, Lord, take this cup away. I don't want to die in Gethsemane. I want to go on a cross. I want to take the sin of the world. I want to take the curse of the world. And I want to die on the cross. But the devil is killing me in this Gethsemane. And so he prayed and God heard his prayer. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
See, here is saying, God saved him from the death, and whatever the fear he had that he is going to die in Gethsemane, God took care of that. So God did not allow him to die in Gethsemane, and so when he prayed with the tears and loud voice, God heard it. This prayer, he never did it anywhere in his lifetime. Only I believe he did it in Gethsemane. And so many people are saying, he was saying, take this cup away means I don't want to go to cross. No, he wanted to go to cross. When Pilate said, you know, I have power to set you free. He said, you don't have power. Only God has power. And so he was willing to go to cross and give his life on the cross. But the devil wanted to kill him in Gethsemane. That's why he prayed with the tears and loud voice. And the Word of God says God heard his prayer and God delivered him from the death. And then the Word of God says the angel came that we already read in Book of Luke chapter 22 verse 43. Angel came and ministered to him. That means he was there also very weak and tired, just like he was in the time of temptation or time of trouble. He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was extremely weak in Gethsemane. Here he lost lots of blood. And so he was very weak and he was dying. And so angel came and ministered to him. Okay, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 12.
Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death light is sprung up."
The word of God says the prophecy has to be fulfilled. That's why Jesus Christ lived in Nazareth and came here and lived among this coast of Galilee where the couple of names are given, Naphtali, Capernaum, and Zebulun. Now, when these places Jesus Christ lived, somebody says Capernaum, he had a headquarter. And so we learn that all these places Jesus did, oh, so many signs and wonders and miracles, and very few people turned to God. So he says, when the judgment time, Sodom and Gomorrah will have a lesser time or easy than these cities, because he was personally there and doing the Lord's work. So here he says the prophecy should be fulfilled. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2.
Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
I heard other day one preacher was saying, in that Sea of Galilee and then some part of this area, all these Gentiles people were doing fishing business and this and that. So the word of God says he even got a chance to give the light to the Gentiles and give the message to Gentiles. So this prophecy was fulfilled. And we learn in book of Luke chapter 1 verse 79.
To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
This is what the Zechariah was saying. This is what Jesus Christ is coming to give light and to give peace to the Gentiles as well as the believers. Chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 32.
A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.
See, Jesus Christ gave the light to Gentiles and even the show his glory to Israel. Many people from different parts of that area, even the Syria and other places, people came to him. And so he was the light, not only to Gentiles and Israeli people, but he was light for the whole world. Go back to the Matthew, start reading from verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17.
From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him.
Verse 22. He says, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. Now, when you read in this Matthew, it seems like he just goes and tells the people, "Follow me," and they kept on following. But if you read in St. John chapter 1 and Luke chapter 5, it's given the story how the disciples came after Jesus. In John, he says, John was preaching and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And so some of his disciples wanted to know more about Jesus and they followed him. Let's go to the St. John chapter 1 and start reading from verse 35.
Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
John introduced Jesus Christ, and these disciples wanted to find out more about Jesus, and they followed him.
Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messias, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee.
This many disciples just listened to the John the Baptist and followed. Andrew followed. He goes and tells Peter. He introduced Peter to Jesus. Jesus changed his name. And still these people did not give up anything. They just doing the fishing business. Go to the book of Luke chapter 5. And start reading from verse 10. And 11, only two verses.
And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
So this is the way it happened. But the Matthew just said, you know, he saw the disciples and says, Just follow me, and they followed. These people knew about Jesus Christ, studied about him, walked with him, and still they did not give up the business. Once Jesus Christ came into this boat, you have to read the Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And then you'll get the story. But here we see Jesus Christ comes in their boat. They could not catch anything. He says, put it in the deep. They got a lot of fish. That's the time Peter start thinking, I'm not even worthy. Jesus Christ is in my boat. That Jesus Christ said, don't worry. From today onwards, you are going to catch people, not fish. And so they give up the business, and their partners give up the business, and then they followed. And then you read in, we will be reading in Matthew chapter 10. Then there were so many other disciples. Let's read a couple of verses and we're going to finish. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 4.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him.
All these 12 men were chosen from other people, and there were some other disciples, but these 12 were made apostles. Okay, so let's go back to the Matthew and start reading from verse 23.
And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan.
See how many places? Starting from Syria and all the surrounding areas, he said, Jerusalem, Galilee, Judea, Jordan, Decapolis, and all these places people start coming. And what was his message? He says he started, repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And Mark says, when he started preaching, first thing he did, Mark chapter 1 verse 15, he says, Jesus Christ started preaching, repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. So he was not only preaching about the kingdom of God, but destroying the works of the devil. And all sick people came with different kinds of sickness and disease. The word of God says he not only preaching in the all Galilees, but he says he went to every synagogue, teaching and the gospel of kingdom of God and healing and delivering them from all kinds of disease. Jesus Christ passed his test and he was victorious. Adam failed his test, and that's why sin, sickness and disease came into this world. Jesus Christ passed this test, died on the cross of Calvary, took your sin, my sickness, my disease on the cross, rose again, and he has given us the same power. Now we read all these miracles he did, and many people followed him wherever he went. St. John chapter 14 verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
I did all the signs and wonders and miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, and all kinds of things. Now I'm going to go to my Father, but whatever the work I did, you will do also, and you will do greater works than what I did. So God has given us power. He did not kept us powerless. The only one thing we have to learn, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and study the word, and the word will give you victory. The word of God says he sent the word, he delivered them, and healed them. The word of God is Jesus Christ. Once the Jesus Christ is in us, we have power to defeat the enemy. We are in book of Matthew chapter 5.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying,
here we see Jesus Christ saw people coming to him. As soon as people, multitude of people coming, he went to the top of the mountain. And then the word of God says he sat there, and the disciples came, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now what he's saying we are going to read. But I was interested when he says he opened his mouth and taught them. Nowadays, we have satellite, television, radio, CDs, and things like that. They can keep it on, and music, and crowd can hear. But Jesus Christ taught the people, more than 20,000 people can listen to him. So you have to see his voice has to be strong, healthy, so all these 5,000, 10,000 people can hear. Now those days when they say he opened his mouth and taught them, it doesn't seem to be a miracle. But in today's day, it is really a miracle. The Jesus Christ can speak to people without a microphone, without any other devices, and his voice was talking to people and reaching to people, thousands of people. And now he says in verse 3,
blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, it seems to be very simple to understand, but a couple of things we have to see here. First of all, it says poor in the spirit. Poor in the spirit doesn't mean that person doesn't understand anything, he's a naive person or something, means humble or teachable. The person's mind is open to listen to the kingdom of God, the word of God, what God is teaching. That's the kind of spirit you should have. Just like a food for our body, The Word of God is the food for our soul and spirit. And then another thing is this, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Means those kind of people, humble, ready to listen, ready to know more about the God and kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is belong to them, or kingdom of heaven is belong to them. Now many people are teaching, we are not going to go to heaven, we are going to stay on earth permanently. God is going to remodel this earth and we are going to be staying here. But here telling us we are going to go to heaven. Verse 4.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Now here also, sounds simple. If you're mourning, you will be comforted. If you're crying or something, somebody will be comforting. But that's not the thought he's bringing here. Person mourn or cry or weep, something bad happened to them. That is not going to take you to heaven. There was a one lady, she used to go to convention after convention. She will go listen and repent, cry, and as soon as she comes home, she will be worse than before. And so that mourning is not be comforted by God. Mourning means just like a weeping prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, if my head was the water, I would be crying for day and night for the children of Israel. There are people pray for others, intercede for others. Now this National Day of Prayer, that's just for like you are praying for your nations, you are praying for your brothers and sisters and country, and you confess their sins like you are a sinner and you cry and weep. Those kind of people have the spirit of prayer. They pray, they intercede, they cry, and they have burden for the soul. And those people will be comforted. That means if you pray for certain person's salvation, God will save that person. And if you really crying from your heart, the Word of God says the person's heart is broken heart. Their prayer, God answers. Verse 5.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Now here again, when somebody says somebody is meek, is a very nice person, understanding person, he is very gentle person. All the gentle people and nice people, they are not going to go to heaven automatically because they are good people. There are so many people are saying, I'm not a bad person, so I will make it to heaven. Each and every person who is born into this world, they will go to hell. They don't come to the Lord and just worship without Christ and without born-again experience, they will go to hell. Here he's saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now somebody saying, okay, this is good for Jehovah's Witnesses, this is good for the people, they want to stay on this earth permanently. But that's not the meaning coming here. When Peter says, I left my house, my everything, and I followed you, what am I going to get? He says, whatever you left, you will get hundredfold on this earth, plus eternal life in heaven. So the born-again people, they are going to be inheriting earthly blessings. That doesn't mean we are going to live on earth permanently. But there is a place in eternity called New Heaven, New Jerusalem, and New Earth. So that is heavenly earth. There are some people are going to live in that earth, New Earth. We see two meek people's name is in the Bible. One was a meek person called Moses. They says Moses was meek person. But the Moses was meek, but at the same time, he was not able to go to the promised land. He made a mistake. Another meek person we see in Matthew chapter 11, that's Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Please read.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Now see what he's trying to say. Jesus Christ is saying, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. So this is the only meek person we see in the whole wide world, that Jesus Christ. And so once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can be just like him. And so the Word of God is trying to teach us here, we have to be meek like Christ to get the earthly blessings as well as heavenly blessings. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Now here again he's saying, the people who are blessed, who are hunger, means hungry and thirsty for the righteousness sake, for they shall be filled, means they will satisfy. There is not a single thing in the world can satisfy you. Worldly food you can eat. There are some people, they get hungry. After that, they get hungry. The same with thirst. You drink and you get thirsty again. Anything in this world people use, car, houses, food, clothing, anything usable things, those things do not satisfy us. Any worldly things will not satisfy us. So that's why I'm saying, only thing will satisfy you, be hungry and thirsty for righteousness' sake. Somebody says, I don't know, what should I do when I say hungry for the righteousness' sake? Shall I read the Bible? Shall I pray more? Shall I fast more? And then I'll be righteous. The righteousness comes from Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse us. We are all filthy rags. We are all sinners. But once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we got the righteousness of Christ. Now, once we got the righteousness of Christ, now we be hungry for more. Now, what are you hungry for? How are you going to be hungry more and more? Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. That means once you are hungry for the Lord, once you are hungry for the kingdom of God, once you are hungry for the righteousness sake, then you will be satisfied with everything what you need. The Word of God says, Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, what he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus or by Christ Jesus. So that means all things what we need, we can get it through Christ. Psalmist says, Lord is my shepherd and what? I shall not want. Means once the Lord is your shepherd and Lord is your supplier, means Lord call all-sufficient God, El Shaddai. Then once you have God, once you are following Christ, once you are reading and studying and about the kingdom of God and trying to be a righteous person, then you will be satisfied. Not only spiritual matters, but everything what we need, we will be looking for godly things and we will get other things automatically.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.